The Church of the Hollywood Bee Cowboy, thundering across the podcast world, straight to you. I'm your podcast podnut, John McFlanagan. I want to welcome you aboard. This is Volume 1, Episode 4. We're working on 10 episodes in Volume 1, so we're getting there. Episode number 4. This episode is dedicated to the one and only, the mighty William Boyd. We'll call him Bill during this podcast. Bill Boyd, Hopalong Cassidy. I tell you, there's nobody better. Anytime I need a pick-me-up, I just go to my Hopalong Cassidy collection. I was able to purchase all Hopalong Cassidy films. There's 66, 1935 to 1948. They came in a Hopalong Cassidy lunch pail. Oh, my friend, very sacred. That's why we're here in the Church of the Hollywood Bee Cowboy, to love and honor and respect and appreciate the great bee cowboys and cowgirls of the silver screen, 1930s and 40s. We're going to dip back into silent film, too. You wait and see. We're going to get to Jack Hoxie and his brother Al Hoxie, a couple of great, great bee stars. We're going to talk all about the bee cowboys. They were great. This episode dedicated to Hopalong Cassidy. Started in 1935. William Boyd had kind of a up-and-down career. He had more lives than a cat. Hopalong Cassidy, Bill Boyd, started as a silent actor for Cecil B. DeMille at Paramount. And he was very successful. He had these light-colored eyes. He grayed prematurely. And he was a beautiful man. Through his whole life, even to the end of his life, he died in his 70s in Palm Springs. Bill Boyd was a beautiful man. And Bill Boyd married beautiful women, and they were rich. His first wife was extremely wealthy, and then he remarried again. And then he met the love of his life, the last Mrs. William Boyd. And what a delightful lady she was. What a sweetheart. What a beautiful woman. And the crazy thing was, she was in love with Bill Boyd through high school in Pennsylvania. And she wrote Bill Boyd on all of her books and wrote things to him in her book. And she ended up coming west, and she ended up being a starlet at Paramount Pictures. And William Boyd heard about her. He called her, asked her if she would go on a date. Well, she didn't believe it was really Bill Boyd. Huh? Really? He came, and her mother was there to chaperone. And as she described it, she came down the stairs, and Bill Boyd was standing there, and he opened his arms, and she ran into his arms. He put his arms around her. God, it makes me cry. Makes an old cowboy like me just tear up. Once she was in his arms, she never left his arms. She was a lovely lady, the last Mrs. Bill Boyd. William Boyd had more lives than a cat. His career kind of ended with silent film. The talkies came along. He did a film called Painted Desert. Everybody owns it. It's public domain. Boy, he's stiff and stilted. Ooh. And he did some other things, and there was a scandal in Hollywood, and another guy named Bill Boyd. There are actually three Bill Boyds in Hollywood. There's a Bill Boyd that came out of Dallas that they call Ramblin' Bill Boyd. I have several of his movies. He was a singing cowboy like Bob Wills in the Texas Playboys. He did that Western swing kind of music. And then there was a guy they ended up calling Stage Bill Boyd, because he was a stage actor. And then, of course, there was William Boyd, Bill Boyd, that became Hopalong Cassidy. Well, when they did this story on Stage Bill Boyd, there was a wild party, naked women. I don't know what was going on. It was a lot of alcohol, I think. When the story hit the newspaper, they put William Boyd's photo for Bill Stage Boyd, and it really sank his career. And he was kind of out of the business for a while. But like I said, he married wealthy women. So Bill was doing all right. He was a clothes horse, wore beautiful clothes, drove a beautiful car, always looked very successful. One day, Pop Sherman, Harry Sherman, had bought the rights to the Hopalong Cassidy series that the gentleman back in the East had written. He'd never been west. He'd never been west of the Mississippi. He wrote the Hopalong Cassidy series, and Pop Sherman, Harry Sherman, called William Boyd. They knew each other from Paramount and everything. And he said, "I'm doing this series, Hopalong Cassidy," and he wanted him to play the bad guy. I think he wanted him to play Red Connors or one of the other characters, a bad guy. William Boyd said, "Please, let me be Hopalong Cassidy, but I want to change this thing." Hopalong Cassidy chewed tobacco, spit all the time. He drank. He was a wild man. He was supposed to be redheaded. William Boyd cleaned him all up, and I read somewhere, and I cannot find where I read it, but I read it as sure as I'm sitting here. William Boyd's costume was designed by Edith Head, the famous costume director of Paramount. Boy, when I see Edith Head's name on a movie, ooh, look out. Watch what they're wearing. She did Shane, but I mean, she did all the Paramount movies, Edith Head. She was really something. She came up with this idea. It was a deep blue, but it filmed as black. It was a navy blue suit, had a neck scarf with a sliding steer head on it. He wore a hat that had a crease down the front. That's called the Montana crease. All those creases you see in cowboy movies, all those creases designate different areas, different things. That's the Montana crease that Hoppy had. Actually, the Bar 20, where Hopalong Cassidy was supposed to have been located, was either in southern Arizona along the border or in southern Texas along the Mexican border. So I don't know how they got the Montana crease, but they did, and it looked great on Hoppy. And he wore boots, tall boots, tucked his pants in his boots, always wore spurs. William Boyd wore spurs every day of his life. His wife said, "I could hear him coming down the hotel hall because I could hear his spurs jingling." He loved his spurs. They just made a sound, I guess, that William Boyd really liked. Bill Boyd didn't like kids. One time he was with Buck Jones, who's a big star in the B-20s and the B-Westerns, the 30s and 40s. We're going to get to Buck Jones one of these days. Whoo, boy, he was something. They were together. William Boyd says something to the effect of, "Keep the little bastards away from me," something like that. And Buck said, "Hey, Bill, those people are paying your bills. They're making you a star. You know, better watch that." So eventually, over time, William Boyd became a different person. He loved children. His movie career ended, and he went into television, did the Hopalong Cassidy television series. So he had more lives than a cat. He had the Silent Days with Cecil B. DeMille. Then he had Hopalong Cassidy. Then he had the TV Hopalong Cassidy. So he reinvented himself several times. When he died, he was worth, I'll pull a figure, $71 million, something like that. He had sold all of his films to television. There's 66 of them from 1935 to 1948, and made a tremendous amount of money. Built an amusement park in Los Angeles near Santa Monica, and a very successful man, very, very successful man. And I tell you, nobody has more love or respect for a Hopalong Cassidy than I do. Hoppy and I are range buddies, let me tell you. The first film is called Hopalong Cassidy Enters. It was originally just Hopalong Cassidy. They went back and renamed it as television came along, Hopalong Cassidy Enters. He makes his debut up on a hill, rides down. Oh, he's something. Got big silver guns and those black boots and spurs and the black hat. And well, he's a good-looking man, and he always looked good his whole career. He had several sidekicks. He had Jimmy Ellison at the beginning. Jimmy Ellison went off with Cecil B. DeMille and was in The Plainsman with Gary Cooper. And high hopes for Jimmy Ellison. It just didn't develop. And he ended up doing a series of B-Westerns with Russell Hayden, who was Hoplon Cassidy's second sidekick. They always had, there. It was a three-member combo. It was Hoplon Cassidy, his young assistant, who would be Jimmy Ellison, 1935 to 1938. And then you had his second assistant, 38 to 40-something, and then Rand from Gone with the Wind, Rand. Can't think of his name. I'll get it for you, believe me. Anyway, had three sidekicks, and there was a period there between Rand, whatever his name was, can't think of his name. Anyway, there was a period between him and Russell Hayden when several people, Superman, Steve Reeves was a sidekick to Hoplon Cassidy. Very good, by the way. Very good. You know, muscle-bound kind of guy. You know what Steve Reeves looked like? Muscle-bound. And he looked very good in a cowboy hat and all of that. So Hoplon Cassidy started out in 1935. And then along the way, Harry Sherman sold the Hoplon Cassidy franchise to United Artists. And they did that for a while. And then, actually, William Boyd hawked everything he had and bought the Hoplon Cassidy name, the movies. He bought everything. It took everything he had, really. It took his ranch. He had a ranch. It took his ranch. He ended up with a little bungalow. He and his wife in a little bungalow. I think he probably got rid of his car, got rid of everything he had. But he owned the Hoplon Cassidy name. So when television came along, William Boyd turned around and started selling his movies to television and made an awful lot of money doing that. Those Hoplon Cassidy films are so well done. Let me tell you, friends, I don't think I explained this through the earlier episodes of Church of the Hollywood Bee Cowboy, but a B-movie, a B-Western, was shot for $4,000 to $7,000. Maybe they'd spend $11,000, but basically it was $4,000 to $7,000, and they cranked them out in about 3 days. That's how long it took to make a B-Western. Pretty simple. They shot them really fast, no retakes, none of that stuff. And the Hoplon Cassidy films cost $100,000. And in fact, later on, William Boyd started making $100,000 a movie for Hoplon Cassidy. Now, he's doing eight films a year. That's $800,000 a year. Friends, we've got a depression going on. There's a depression in America, and William Boyd was not part of it. He was making some big money, but he was doing some awful good work. Those Hoplon Cassidy films, a lot of them are shot in my favorite spot. I've told you about it. I'm going to retell you about it. Keep telling you about it until it gets you over there. It's called Lone Pine, California, about 250 miles north of Los Angeles on Highway 295. It's north of Mojave, south of Bishop, on the east side of the Sierra. You go there, you'll never be the same. I've been there several times. I've attended the film festival several times in Lone Pine. The mountains, the Sierra, are right there. You take a road, there's only one light in Lone Pine, and you go west. And as you go west, you climb up, and there's a long concrete design there that says Department of Interior. That's all federal land. You can't go into Lone Pine and just build something. If you build something, you have to take it out. Everything that's built in there has got to be carried out. You climb up, and I swear to God, as you climb up, you can hear an orchestra playing. Dun, 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 dun. And you're up on a plateau with rocks all around, huge rocks. They're called the Alabama Hills. And the Sierra, Mount Whitney is right there, tallest peak in the southern U.S., is right there. And you can reach out and touch Mount Whitney. So many movies have been shot there. Wow. They even shot one of the first Iron Man film. They wanted to do Afghanistan. They shot the first Iron Man film in Lone Pine. Gunga Din. Big movie in 39, Gunga Din. Shot in Lone Pine. Boy, when you see those rocks and you see those mountains and it's flat, and then it's got an area that actually has a stream running through it. There's running water and trees. So you can film three or four different locations all within the Alabama Hills and Lone Pine. Very special place. Hoppy did 36 movies there. And in my opinion, some of his best. The first Hopalong Cassidy film, they asked William Boyd, if you were going to pick a movie to introduce people to Hopalong Cassidy, or if you were going to show Hopalong Cassidy, he said, hey, just run the first one, because we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we were going to do. And the first one gets you off and running for the second and the third. Oh, the third sidekick, besides the young guys and William Boyd, it was Gabby Hayes at the beginning, 35 through 39 or so. Gabby Hayes was the sidekick to Hopalong Cassidy. Oh, man, do they have chemistry. But William Boyd was hard to work with. Gabby Hayes worked with some hard people. Ken Maynard, Bill Boyd, he worked with some hard men. And poor Gabby, he's sweetest man on the planet. Went with Roy Rogers and lived happily ever after. And then he worked with Wild Bill Elliott. He worked with Bill Elliott. And then he wrapped it up with Randolph Scott late in the 50s, into the 60s. And then Gabby Hayes had his own TV show. But Gabby was the first of number three sidekick. And then they kicked around for a while, and they used a lot of different people as sidekick. They didn't know what they were doing. But Hopalong Cassidy was so established by the time Gabby left that they could carry on with just whomever as sidekick number three, kind of a comedian type. And they ended up with California Carlson, Andy Clyde. This guy had been a very successful comedian, done a lot of work in Hollywood, and he ended up with Bill Boyd. And when Bill Boyd did the TV series after the movies ended in 1948, he did not ask Andy Clyde to join him. He used Edgar Buchanan, and it really hurt Andy Clyde's feelings, and no one has ever been able to solve that mystery. Why Hopalong Cassidy didn't use California Carlson on his TV show? Used him in so many movies. Some things aren't explained. There are some mysteries that are just mysteries. I don't want my email to be a mystery. I want you to be able to get in touch with me wherever you're hearing me, whatever you're doing. If you have earbuds or if you've got a speaker of some kind, I want you to get my email address. J-O-J-O, all lowercase, of course, all lowercase. J-O-J-O-M-A-C-K. Be sure you get that K on there. Won't work without it. J-O-J-O-M-A-C-K, 2006@yahoo.com. Okay? Please email me. Put church on it if you send me an email. God bless you. I'd love to know where you are and what you're doing and how you feel about the Beat Cowboys. There's so much to be done. There's so many people to introduce you to. We have just scratched the very surface. There were so many Beat Cowboys. There were singing cowboys and non-singing cowboys. And there was Lash LaRue with a whip. We might even investigate Whip Wilson. You know, I do not have a film by Whip Wilson. And I've got a collection that includes everybody. I've got to get some Whip Wilson films so we can talk about Whip Wilson. Anyway, there are a lot of Beat Cowboys out there, and I'm just so glad you're here in the Church of the Hollywood Beat Cowboy. John McFlanagan, I'm your podcast podna. Riding off into the sunset, my friend. We shall meet again in the Church of the Hollywood Bee Cowboy.